SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, what the ATO is keeping an eye on come tax time, a huge week for the markets and the ASX at a three-week low, all that and more. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 27th of April 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell to a three-week low. We'll have the details with Raymond Chan from Morgans in a few moments, who will go through what will be a huge week on financial markets with global central bank meetings, US tech earnings, and inflation data here. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go into more detail of the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News. But first, believe it or not, but it'll soon be tax time. And this year, the Australian Taxation Office says it'll be focusing on work-related deduction errors and omitted income. That includes side hustles, cash jobs, interest and rental income. The ATO is also warning of misinformation from AI platforms and so-called finfluencers offering unverified tax tips online. For more, I spoke with Assistant Commissioner Anita Challen. Anita, so the ATO is seeing a rise in tax-related content and tips being shared, especially online. Well, what kind exactly?
Yeah, thanks, Ricardo. Look, we are seeing an increase in information that's being shared often as tax tips and hacks, things that are offering or promising higher refunds or shortcuts and things like that. And we're really just asking taxpayers to apply some caution when we're receiving third-party information. That includes whether it's through AI, through finfluencers or social media, and even sometimes through well-meaning family and friends. It's always a good idea just to check the information that you're receiving and go through verified sources. The best options are to go directly to the ATO website, ato.gov.au, through the ATO app. And of course, you can get some great advice from registered tax professionals. Just make sure they are registered through the Tax Practitioner Board, which you can check online.
Late last week, we covered ASIC's warning on finfluencers. So that's on a previous podcast. You're also mentioning AI. How is AI being used to spread information?
Yeah, AI is great for lots and lots of things. I just used it on the weekend for an Anzac Day biscuit recipe. So it's really, really useful. But what we do see is that it's best to apply some caution when you're using it for tax advice. In particular, AI can rely on outdated or non-Australian tax information. So it means that it might be looking at foreign tax law that doesn't actually apply here at all. It can also be the case that it disregards or misinterprets your personal circumstances, which can matter when you're considering all of the things that you might be entitled to. And one of the more common areas we see is where it can be sourcing information, including from the ATO website, but it relates to prior years. And so one of the examples we see is the prior year working from home rate that you may apply to your tax deductions. And what's important about that one is that, of course, taxpayers may actually not be getting all the things they're entitled to because they're using a lower rate that applied to previous years that has since increased for this year.
Every year, the ATO releases, a list of the focus areas it's looking at when it comes to tax time. What are you looking at this year?
So I don't think it'll be too surprising for taxpayers that we are particularly interested in work-related expenses and deductions, and also making sure that you're declaring all of the income that you've earned. We often see that in most instances, taxpayers making mistakes are genuinely trying to do the right thing, and the mistakes can be avoided just by applying a little bit more care and effort to make sure that you get it right the first time. Probably most people don't want to do their tax the first time, let alone have to do it again. So the more that you can actually apply the right information, take care and ensure that you're doing everything you can to get all that you're entitled to by, but no more, that's the best way to go about it when you're doing your taxes. There are three golden rules to remember when you're considering work-related deductions, and they are that you've spent the money yourself, that it does have a direct connection with the income that you're earning, and also that you've got the evidence to prove it. For income, it's really important. We know many people have more than one job. There's lots of side hustles happening or some odd jobs and things that you might be doing for cash. It's really important to ensure that you declare all of that income on your tax return, including things like investments as well. And that will make sure that you don't need to worry about doing those things again. The ATO helpfully has 40 occupational guides and industry specific guides that taxpayers can use to get it right the first time. It gives information on what you can and can't claim, and also the relevant records that you may need to keep in order to claim those.
What are some of the quirky but legitimate work-related deductions?
Yeah, look, it's a really good question to ask, Ricardo, because we know and we've certainly seen our fair share of illegitimate work-related expenses, but it might surprise people to know there are some slightly unusual things that, depending on your occupation, you can claim. So if you're into the sporting industry and you're working outside, you can actually claim the work-related portion of your sunscreen, hat or sunglasses that you might wear to protect yourself as you're working outside. Hairdressers or beauty professionals may claim scissors that they're using in their profession, and there's lots of other of those sort of quirky, unusual claims in those occupational guides available on our website as well.
So what's your message to workers this tax time?
Look, the main message is to pause and check that you've got everything right in the first instance. That includes having a think about when you're lodging. The ATO can make it really easy, especially when we're thinking about ensuring you've declared all of the income that you've earned, by waiting for that pre-fill information to come in. Of course, those three golden rules when it comes to work-related deductions, keep those in mind and pay close attention when you're applying for those work-related expenses and putting them in as deductions, and make sure that you're also checking the information that you've got from third parties. The ATO also has some great information in languages other than English on our website, and we've also introduced some newer content that's in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander languages as well.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's ATO Assistant Commissioner there, Anita Challen. All right, from tax, let's go to the Australian share market, where the S&P ASX 200 finished at a three-week low today, down 0.2%. Volumes were light because of public holidays in New South Wales, WA and the ACT. Still, the utility sector did worse, led by Origin Energy, down 5%. It was followed by energy. Woodside down 1.5%, Santos lost 1.8%. The best performer was Atlas Arteria, climbing 13.4%. That's a toll road operator, and that's after a $7 billion takeover offer was made by IFM Investors. It's a huge week in financial markets with global central bank meetings, US tech earnings and inflation data here. And to tell us more, I spoke with Raymond Chan from Morgan.
Raymond, first of all, what's driving the market today? Markets are softer on lighter volume with New South Wales and Western Australia on holiday. The ASX 200 was slightly lower on stranded US-Iran peace talk causing ongoing oil disruption. High energy prices reviving the inflation concern, weighing on the consumer and utility stocks, you know, both went down today. And the bank stocks also under pressure following recent increase in credit provisioning. On the upside, the resources stock are a clear standout today, led by gold company Newmont. Actually, it's a bit of delayed reaction, you know, after last Friday production report that beat consensus by about 7% and announced another round of share buyback. The tech stocks, on the other hand, also performing well ahead of the Mag 7 result this week. And finally, a pocket of takeover activities driving a selective stocks such as Alice Arteria.
You mentioned the Mag 7 there. We'll talk about that in detail in a few moments. All of last week on the podcast, we were discussing whether the markets have been a bit too confident that the conflict in the Middle East will end soon. Do you think investors have been a bit too optimistic?
The investor sentiment keep changing, I can see, over the past 4 weeks. The situation in Middle East matter because the disruption to global trade and energy supply is rarely a short-term issue. In Iran cases, the oil export are central to its economy, and any disruption suddenly cause supply, price, and cash flow issue. So market now are increasingly treating these as a period of prolonged disruption rather than a quick fix. That said, this is the important point. The market are not pricing in a worst case scenario. This is, I guess, where the relief rally coming in. Worst case scenario mean oil price surging about $150 US, global recession, and in extreme case, stagflation. To demonstrate that, I looked at the energy future market. So the 2-year pricing at the moment is 15 to 20% premium. And the 3 to 4 year pricing is 10 to 15% premium to the pre-war pricing level. So certainly concern is rising in terms of that disruption, but certainly not worst case scenario at this stage being priced in.
What do you think though it'll mean for company bottom lines as we approach reporting season down the track in a few months? Because we've already heard from quite a number of them. Cochlear, a big sell down last week, for example. What do you think the war will mean for those companies?
We are entering confession season when June year company need to update the market if the earnings are materially different from expectation. Yes, we're already seeing downgrade across several sectors such as healthcare, consumer stocks, and part of the banks. With companies, as you mentioned, Cochlear, another company, Aurora, they are all pointing to Middle East disruption as one of the contribution factor. All these are unfolding ahead of Macquarie Conference, which I think is very important. Macquarie Conference will be held in early May, which often to be seen as a mini reporting season and help to reset the market expectation for the months ahead. So certainly we are likely to see a few more downgrade going into the conference.
What about the implication for inflation? Not just in the short term, because we'll get the CPI numbers on Wednesday, but into the future. What does it mean for interest rates?
Last year, we took a long consensus view that Australia would face multiple rate hike. So far, RBA has delivered, two rate hike to 4.1% at the moment. The significance is look at the change of expectation. To put it in perspective, back in August 2025, the market was expecting 2 rate cuts. And now to switch from that into 4 rate hike. So the change is 6 rate hike. So we think, you know, there are likely to be 2 more rate hikes from here based on our research modeling. One of the reasons is the inflation, as you mentioned, is proven to be more persistent than expected. particularly in services and electricity prices. So this is one of the key factors we've been looking at. And the Middle East conflict all now lead to a higher energy cost. So that is another layer of inflation risk. And more importantly, RBA, according to the recent record, looks to be prioritizing inflation risk over the growth risk. So as such, we still think there's a real risk that there will be more RBA rate hike here. The U.S., if I'm allowed just to suggest a few points, the U.S. is in a different position. A stronger labor to productivity is helping to contain inflation. So according to our strategy's model, it's actually allowed the Fed to have one small rate cut later on this year. So we're actually seeing a policy divergence between U.S. and Australia. And that's how helped explain what happened to the Aussie dollars. In near term, we think there's going to be continued support for the Aussie dollars because of the policy divergence we are seeing now.
So yeah, as you mentioned, the RBA will meet in a couple of weeks' time, but inflation isn't the only key thing happening this week. We've got global central bank meetings, including that of the US, US reporting season, especially from some of the Magnificent Seven. So there's stocks like Apple and Microsoft and Amazon. What are you keeping your eye on, and how important will these central bank meetings be?
The US Federal Reserve will hand down its decision early Thursday morning, Australian time. That, of course, followed by RBA meeting on the 5th of May. I'm particularly paying more attention to the offshore earnings at the moment, because it's clear to me the international resale has been stronger than the Australian resale. So for the month of April, we are seeing collectively 5.8% beat in terms of earnings for across 65 international companies, some of the biggest in the world that we are tracking at the moment. So in terms of Australia, we're seeing earning downgrade, but in the global market, we're seeing earning being steady or slightly up. So this week, as you mentioned, Mag7 resale will be very important. Also, another set of company I will look at is energy company. The big oil company will announce the resale, and we certainly will be firsthand here what happened, you know, to the oil situation at the moment. That, I think, will draw a lot of market attention as well.
And just finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
So putting all these pieces together, the extended disruption scenario pointing to higher for longer inflation, maybe one potential rate cut for the US Federal Reserve, but, you know, an ongoing possibility of further RBA rate hike. In such scenario, we think, number one, we should hedge our investment, overseas investment back to Aussie dollars because of the translation risk. Commodity and resources should do well because of the long-term supply constraint, because of the geopolitical tension, and also an ongoing energy transition currently accelerated by the AI revolution. So certainly Australia is a lucky country. And infrastructure should also be looked at, because many of these infrastructure companies, they have the contract, which is CPI linked. So the link to the inflation, which I think will partially offset the inflation risk. And, you know, in terms of fixed interest, you know, short term floating rate should be considered. Lastly, yes, there have been considerable sell off, the market recover, but Australian smaller company, they're still done. In fact, they are trading at multi-year low in terms of the multiples. This is where I see a pocket of opportunity. And of course, this is just general advice. We're not taking into any investor's individual objective and needs.
Raymond Chan there from Morgans, and he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Don't forget, if you like it, give it a review and subscribe. And of course, you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.